2 Kings chapter 5. Man, I should have told you that already. 2 Kings chapter number 5. If you'll find your place. I was talking about being tired. So young people, do what you can to stay awake this morning. And I noticed some of you nodding off even during the song service. And not the normal ones that do. But some of you other ones, I know you're tired. But you could use the message also. So 2 Kings chapter 5. And we have a few baptisms here in a little while. We have the baptisms, Brother Trent, we think. Okay, and so that'd be exciting. Brother Trent will baptize some folks, but and then we'll have some baptisms tonight too, and looking forward to that. 2 Kings chapter number 5, and let's stand together. I'm going to read several verses, and I am going to put my old man glasses on. And I was putting in some electrical plugs in my house yesterday, and I was so blind I had to go get my spotlight flashlight just to shine down at it, and still couldn't read. So anyway, 2 Kings chapter 5, you look at the Bible, not at me, and this will just help me read this passage better. Look down at your Bible. All right. 2 Kings chapter number 5. Put these old man glasses. Listen. Listen. You ain't. Listen. No. Anyhow. Man. It's weird. All right. 2 Kings 5 verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go to, go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." Now that the message was lost somewhere there. The king of Syria sends a letter to maybe he meant for it to go to the men of God, but it had to go through the king of Israel. And the king of Israel thinks he's asking me to heal this guy. Look at verse 7. "And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh to quarrel against me.'" Now this is not in the notes, but I did want to mention this. The king of Israel is scared to death because he thinks, man, the king of Syria is treating me like I'm some sort of God. He's going to get me killed. And I don't know where the message got mixed up there. It's about to straighten itself out. But this jumped off the page at me when I was reading it this week. The king of Syria sending a man to the king of Israel. The king of Israel thinks he's wanting him to solve his problems. It just reminded me of this. Our government is not going to solve your problems. All right, they're going to start dishing money out again. I think this month, for those with kids, it's a child tax credit. All it is an advance on next year. You're not going to get it next year because you're going to get it now. And I'm for helping where we can. I'm for helping those in need. I'm not for helping lazy people that won't work. I'm for helping those that have trials and troubles and health problems. But just like this man, he said, "Hey, don't come to the king for that kind of help. We need to turn to one person, that's God, and say, 'God, you said you'd provide all our needs. We're going to work. We're going to manage our finances. We got to quit being dependable upon our government because they've got us right where they want us.'" That was just extra. Verse number 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Another little side note. We'll sit down just a minute, but another little side note. We want all of our problems fixed like it's a miracle. Like I can talk with the pastor one time, abracadabra, say a prayer, marriage is better, finances are better, health is better. And friends, sometimes God, that someone said the best place to pray for rain is at the end of a garden hoe. In other words, get busy doing what it takes to fix things and ask God to intervene because we certainly need the help of God. But it says here, Naaman is complaining because he told him to go dip in Jordan. He said in verse 12, "Are not
not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Notice back in verse 11, after Elisha had told Naaman, go and wash in Jordan seven times. I want you to go to the Jordan River. I want you to dip up and down seven times. The leprosy will leave you. Notice Naaman's response in verse 11. And Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought it was sure to come to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Where Naaman went wrong is where he made this statement. This is the title of the message this morning. He said, I thought. Well, I thought. Well, preacher, I thought. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless the message this morning? A little bit different of an AM message, I guess, but I know there are folks in here with burdens, with broken hearts, with needs, with questions. And I pray, God, today that though there are some questions in this life we're never going to have answered, but I pray that today that we'll get some direction for our thinking. Help us, Lord, to learn to trust you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. The country of Syria, which, by the way, our family's from, my dad's grandfather, right? Grandfather or great-grandfather came over from Syria decades ago, years ago. But the country of Syria sits to the northeast of the country of Israel. In our text, we find a young Israelite girl who had been carried captive into Syria, stolen from her homeland of Israel. Look at it in verse number 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. In our text, this young lady is here. She's been stolen away. But in God's providential and omniscient way, he allowed her to go through that difficulty of having to be taken from her homeland in order to eventually help this man called Naaman. Now, most times when we go through trials, we look for the answer to the question, why? Why God? Why me? Why now? Why in this way? It may be years down the road that we learn the answer. We may never learn the answer. The devil is powerful. And someone asked me the other day, is the devil all-knowing? And I said, absolutely not. Only God is all-knowing. And by the way, only God is all-present or omnipresent. We blame a lot on the devil that is no more than just our old flesh and letting the flesh control our life. Now, the devil does have demons. He does have, the Bible calls them other devils, and they are in ranks. He has a mighty army of innumerable angels, fallen angels, so they certainly can influence us if we're not careful. Here this young lady was taken into Syria, and later on in life she began to find out at least one reason why God had her there. Naaman had leprosy, and this little Jewish maid was able to testify to Naaman's wife of how God had a prophet in Israel who she believed could heal Naaman in verse number 3 there. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now, chances are someone once told you something like this. Hey, you ought to get in church. You need to go to church. Well, if you go to church, I tell you what, it can help your marriage. And yet, even in churches like ours, some marriages end in divorce. People will say, well, yeah, hey, you ought to get in church. I tell you what, man, it'll help your kids, and your kids will grow up better. And by the way, you've got a better fighting chance if you're right with God and you're going to church. And a lot of times we say, well, why would God allow this? And sometimes we have to look at it and say, you know what, we didn't really allow God to be a part of our life. We can't really blame this on God. We could just take from here and move forward and see what God does. But someone says, hey, you ought to be in church, man, have your kids in church. But yet sometimes you have church church kids that walk right out of the will of God and after being raised in a godly home. Someone will say, hey, you ought to get in church. I tell you what, it'll help your personal life. It'll help you spiritually. It'll help you emotionally. It'll help you mentally. And yet, you see those even that come to church sometimes that have breakdowns in certain areas. You've heard me tell about the promises of God and His willingness and His power to bless your life. And that kind of parallels the young lady saying, hey, if you'll go find this man of God, I'm telling you, you'll get some help. Now, Naaman caught wind of the promise, and through the king of Syria's urging, he stepped out by faith, and he went looking for the man of God and those promises that he had heard about. Look in verse number 4. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Now, so he went to go find that man of God. I want to jump right to the end. Don't get excited, because we're coming back. But I want to jump right to the end, and I want to tell you that Naaman did find the man of God. He did obey his preaching, if you will, and he did receive his healing there. We read it in verse number 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. All right, so the young lady said, hey, I know a man of God in Syria, and I believe that God will work through him, and I believe you can get the healing of from your leprosy. And Naaman did ultimately get that healing. And I want to say to all of us today, as born-again Christians, God says what He means, and He means what He says. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And He meant it. He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And He meant it. I don't believe that's just going to an altar and saying, Lord, let me just lay on you my burdens and let you know what's going on in my life. I really believe what that means is, if I was carrying a 80-pound pack of Sacreed and then I was struggling with it, and Ethan stood up and said, preacher, I'll take that for you. I don't just say, well, you try it for a while and I'll try it for a while. You try. I think what that means is I hand him that sack of concrete and I go on with my life, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I can't do anything else about this, God, except worry about it. I can't do anything else about this, God, except be discouraged. So, God, I'm going to leave it with you, and I'm going to trust you to do whatever it is that needs to be done in my life. God says what he means, and he means what he said. He said, my life's verse, all things, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And he meant it. He said about us giving our tithes and offerings, prove me now herewith, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I believe God says what he means, and he means what he says. He said in his word, give and it shall be given unto you. And he meant it. Now, I'm not preaching a social gospel. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm not saying let's give and let's get, but I'm saying to you, God's people ought to be givers. Give to others, be a help to others, be a blessing to others. He said in his word, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And friend, when he said that, he meant that. He didn't just mean that my grace is sufficient for some of your troubles and some of your bad days. He said, my grace is sufficient for all of your troubles and all of your bad days. Listen, if God brings you to it, God's grace will bring you through it. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. God said, if we'll get in the Bible, hey, we need to get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God get in us. And if we want to be successful in the will of God and in life, we're going to have to do things God's way. I was putting together a little dimmer switch yesterday in my house, and I had put some in at the church, but it had been a couple of years. And so I didn't just start wiring stuff together. Man, I got the piece of paper out and a bottle of water, and I sat down and I read it and made sure that I had it just right. And we spend our lives so frustrated because we try to do everything our way instead of just getting that Bible right there. God, what do you want from me as a spouse? What should I be doing as a young man? Where's the will of God for my life? I was talking to Miss Roach this morning in passing, shook her hand back there, and she's been doing some devotions that I gave her and her husband, and she said, "Preacher, I think," she said, it asked me to read like 20 verses on a certain page. She said, "I'm up to 1,000 verses now." You cannot go wrong reading the Bible and getting the Bible in you. We're so ready to get that phone out. I saw it today, this morning. We're just so ready. Always have that phone. We got to always see what's going on in life. We need to just put our phone away and get in the Bible. Let God's Word help us. Hey, I like this. God said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He said it, and God says what He means, and He means what He says. And I believe the Lord's coming back for us, either by rapture or by rupture. But one day, if you're saved, if you're a born-again child of God, you're going home to be with the Lord. Don't ever doubt the promises of God. Don't ever doubt the promises of God. That is a tactic of Satan. Yea, hath God said. You really think God's coming back for you one day? You really think that He's present with you all the time as a child of God? You really believe this? Hey, if God said it, it's true. Amen. Now, in the end, Naaman realized the truth that God's promises will always be fulfilled. But he nearly missed it. He nearly stopped short of the finish line. He nearly gave up. He nearly got angry and discouraged and bitter beyond a place of restoration in his life. Why? Because at one point, he didn't like the way things were going. Are you listening, Christian?
Yep.
At one point, he didn't agree with God, if you will. At one point, he didn't like what the man of God had to say. Everything was not the way that he thought it would be. And notice this again in verse number 10 there in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. So my dad and I went to Israel back about 18, 19 years ago now. And we didn't get to stop at the Jordan River, but we went over the Jordan River on bridges on several occasions. The Jordan River is a very dirty river and a muddy river. I would relate it to, it may not be this filthy, but I would relate it almost to like the Trinity River, minus the bodies, right? The Trinity River. And what Naaman said was, first of all, why did I come all the way to Israel to get in some muddy water? He said, "I figured I just got before the man of God. I thought you just talked to the preacher and bam, everything was better. I thought you got some counseling and then it's automatically better." No, that's not the way it works. And he said, there are rivers in Syria back home that are much better and much cleaner than this Jordan River. We go on vacation Saturday, and I love to go to Beaver Lake up there in Arkansas because it's a clear lake. I don't know if I've ever swam in a clear lake before. I won't even get into Waukene. I have not been into Waukene in years because, man, once you've been in something like that clear lake, you're swimming, you can see your feet 6 feet down. You can see the gators as they're coming up to eat you. I love that lake. And I would much rather a preacher say, "Listen, here's what you need to do. Go take a dive into Beaver Lake." I'd say, "Okay." I'd grab my pool noodle back here. But if you said, "Preacher, here's what we want you to do for vacation. We want you to go take some dunks in the Trinity River south of Interstate 20. I'd say, "You know what? I don't think I'm going to make it on vacation this time." Naaman was upset. Here's the problem. Back to that phrase in verse 11. "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold,
I thought.
Well, preacher, I thought that I thought going to church and getting right with the Lord, I thought that my marriage would automatically improve. You realize in order for a marriage to automatically improve, you got to have both spouses wanting to live for God. Both spouses to do it God's way rather than our own. We can sit in church all we want and listen to preachers the rest of our life, but until we're willing to apply the preaching, apply the counsel, listen to the Holy Spirit of God, or get saved if we need to get saved, nothing is ever going to change. A preacher, I thought going to church, getting right with the Lord, I thought it meant my kids would not, would they'd act right, they wouldn't go wrong. Preacher, I thought that my finances would straighten out if I went to church, if I began to give. Preacher, I thought maybe my health would get better. I've heard people do that before. I need to get back in church. Why? Well, I got a test coming up. Oh, okay, now we need God. Preacher, I thought I wouldn't have any more problems. You following me? Well, I don't understand, God. I thought it'd be this way, and I thought it would work out that way, and I thought, and I had plans for years, and I didn't know that was going to happen like that, and I don't understand why you allowed this to happen, and I don't understand why this is the way with my health, and I don't understand why I lost my loved one, and I don't understand why I lost my job. I've been faithful to church, and I've been tithing, but I thought if I did, I thought. Preacher, I'm discouraged today because we gave our life to Christ, and I thought God said, preacher, I thought you said, again, let me remind you, God does not lie. The Bible says we serve a God that cannot lie. You may not get the answer you want, but you're going to get the answer that God knows you need. I don't have to get my way in order to be happy. I just have to start believing that God is working in my life and that God knows what's best, our all-knowing God, even though I will never agree or never understand this side of eternity, why certain events and things in my life happen the way. But here's the thing, we can get angry, we can get bitter, we can stay backslidden, we can quit on God, or we can say, you know what, I've got to stop with what I'm thinking, and I've got to just say, God, I'm just going to trust you with my life. My dad was here yesterday at our soul winning, and I was standing there beside him, and we were just kind of talking, and he's excited. He's so excited to see all the young adults in our church, and he's looking around. He's like, man, I tell you, and he saw Brother Trent get up there and lead the soul winning program, and then Miss Caitlin go to the piano, and then Brother Daniel get up there and lead a song, and my dad's just like, man, this is great. It's great to see these young adults. And I told my dad, I said, it is. I said, but you know what my greatest fear is? There's going to come a time soon where we're going to lose a couple or two out of our church, 20s and 30s. You say, why is that? Because I know how the devil works. And he'll either get you discouraged down to a point where it's like, well, you know what we need more than anything else? We just need change. No, you don't. You need anchors. I said, we have a lot of people in our church, really do, a lot that are related to here and there and whatever, and somebody's going to eventually say, well, you know, we just need a fresh start. And man, this is not a ploy to keep you here, but I'm saying to you, better get some roots, let those roots grow, because the devil will dangle stuff out in front of us. Here's a better paycheck. Here's freedom. Here's where your friends are. Anytime we go on vacation, I don't ever want to come back. Are y'all shocked? You go to some stupid places on vacation then. Apparently you go to the dump ground. Man, I don't care if it's California or Smoky Mountains or Beaver Lake or some island somewhere. When I'm on vacation, I'm thinking, man, this is great. Surely God needs a church here. But that's not reality. That's not reality. The Bible says this in Philippians 4, verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Let your moderation be known unto all men. That is not talking about drinking alcohol. God's against us drinking alcohol. Let your moderation be known unto all men. That means calmness of mind, no extremes. In other words, that verse cancels out the drama queens in the church. The drama kings in the church. Just be steady. He says the Lord is at hand. In other words, we don't have to, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. The Lord is always right there with us. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about things, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All right, so he says, calm down and learn to pray about things and leave it at the feet of the Lord and allow God to bring peace in your life about what has happened or peace in your life about what is happening. You stay faithful to God and just choose to get on the happy side of living no matter what your situation is. You and I as Christians are to live by faith. When we learn to live by faith, we can make it through any difficulty. What does living by faith mean? Let me give you several statements here. Number one is this. It means that I believe that there is a God in heaven. Now, that's simple to some people. That may not be too simple to everyone in here. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But living by faith means that I believe there's a God in heaven. Number two, it means that I believe that God is in control of my life. Now, we're not robots. He gave us free will. And we make decisions early on with our health and our body that affect us for the rest of our life. We make decisions on who to marry, and if we marry the wrong person, or where to go to school, or what career. I mean, God does not just say, all right, here's what you're doing today in this perfect path. The man's heart deviseth his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps. We come up, devise a scheme. We come up with all kinds of plans and ideas. The Lord directeth his steps. That means the directed is a straight path. That's why we need to pray and seek the will of God in everything in our life. We mess things up and we blame it on God. And what we need to do is learn that God is in control of my life if I'm yielding my life to Him. What does it mean to live by faith? It means that I have entrusted my life to God. I've committed my life. I'm trusting God with my life. What does it mean to live by faith? It means that I don't have to fully understand or agree in order to be happy and fulfilled. I just know God's in control. What does it mean to live by faith? It means that I'm moving forward in my life. How about some scripture for that? How about Hebrews 11, where everyone was moving forward by faith, trusting God? What does it mean to live by faith? It means that I will live for God and be obedient to His will without stipulation or without reservation. I'm just going to trust God. Naaman's willingness to continue to move by faith and be obedient, even when he didn't understand, built his faith in God. All right, you watching me now? Naaman goes to Elisha. Elisha tells him what to do. He says, well, that's foolish. I don't want to go through all that. I just thought, you know, it just automatically gets better. So first he had to work. He had to do something. But then when Elisha tells him to go dip in Jordan, and he says, man, why would I have to get in that nasty river? And see, we go through things in our life. We think, man, I don't understand why I've got to go through this. This doesn't make sense. Why me, Lord? Why would this have to happen in my life? But you know what Naaman did? He got a hold of himself and said, you know what? Somebody actually encouraged him and said, you need to just do what the man of God said to do and see how it turns out. And so he went, dipped in the Jordan River, came out cleansed, skinned like a brand new child, the Bible says. And look what he says at the end. Second Kings 5, minus the reading glasses here. They look like an Isaiah. Second Kings 5, look at verse number 15. Look what he says at the end. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. You see what happened there? You can quit anytime. You can quit anytime. Young people, anytime you want, quit on God. You can get out there in the world, mess your life up. Adults, you can quit anytime. Anyone can quit. Weak people quit. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Anyone can quit. And Naaman would have lived the rest of his life saying, if you'll allow me this liberty, Naaman would have spent the rest of his life saying, church didn't work for me. All that preaching stuff doesn't work. I've tried it. It doesn't work.
But instead, he just decided to do exactly what the man of God said he needed to do. Even when it doesn't make sense. And at the end he said, I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I did. I went in this morning to our little new room there. Brother Braley helped me this week. We put some electricity in it. And it was raining. And so I haven't revealed this to my wife or daughter yet, but it was raining. And I thought, well, I'm going to see if the electricity works in the rain, make sure we're good to go. And so I had to flip that breaker. Everything's fine. Nothing happened. All right. Both of them up here panicking. But here was my thought. This is probably just guys. Here was my thought. I'm just like this. I walk in that room with my flashlight. I go to flip it. It's storming. And I think, you know, I wonder if it's going to like zap or, you know, what's going to happen here. Nothing happened. But I thought this. I thought, well, if something happens, I'll already be in a suit. I did. I thought, you know what? They could skip whatever. Put me straight in the box. I'm already in a suit. It just works, doesn't it? Now, here's the thing. Whether my time comes at 46 or 64 or 96, whether my time comes, I hope and pray by the grace of God. I hope and pray that my tombstone doesn't say he quit. Or the breaker didn't work in the rain. You know, I don't want my tombstone to say. I don't want my kids. I don't want Josh and Sarah one day looking over my grave and maybe some sons-in-laws, daughters-in-laws, all that kind of stuff. Maybe some grandkids if we could just get this thing rolling. But I don't want to look over and say, hey, y'all remember when Dad was pastor there in Wills Point for 21 years? Yeah, but the last 30 years, man, he just went to work at Taco Bell. No offense. Well, the last 30 years, Dad just went out and started driving a diesel truck. Well, the last 30 years, Dad just started being a plumber. What happened? I don't know. Something happened at the church. Something happened with Mom and Dad. And Dad said, you know, I thought it'd be different than this. I'm done. I hope they stand at my grave one day and say, man, I'm glad Dad stayed faithful. Wasn't always easy. He didn't always understand. You're not always going to understand everything you go through. You're not always going to understand the whys of the Bible. But we just need to take God at His word and not live with this whole, well, I thought, because then we're going to get angry. We're going to get bitter. We're going to get out of the will of God. And you're only going to hurt. You're going to break our heart, but you're only going to hurt yourself.
Yep.
And at the end, Naaman said, now I know. There's a God in Israel. Now I know. I know who God is, and I know that God will bring me through anything. And I know I just got to totally, totally say, God, I've prayed. I've asked you to direct my path. I believe you're bringing me through these places in my life. I don't understand it right now, but I know that you're by my side. I know you'll never leave me nor forsake me. So, God, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to trust you with where I am right now, whether it be health, whether it be marriage, whether it be finance, whether it be a rebellious kid, whether it be whatever it is, why don't we just today, let me read you a couple of scriptures. The Bible says this in Isaiah 55 and in verse number 8. Listen to this. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God has a plan, and our thoughts don't always line up with His. Listen to what the Bible says here, and I'm done. In Psalm 105, talking about Joseph, He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time that His word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Joseph had had a dream early on in his life as a teenager. Here we are now, decades later, throughout just a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, and it was quite a while before that dream, that will of God came to fruition. The Bible says, during that time between right here and right here, where Joseph said, now I see why all this happened, during that time, the Bible says, the word of the Lord tried him. In other words, Joseph had to decide, sitting in that prison, am I going to trust God's word or not? Does God say what he means and means what he says or not? We have to cut the drama out of our life. We have to cut the, I'm going to quit. Well, I'm not going to quit. Well, I'm tired of this. Well, I'm not tired of that. We need to get on our face before God and say, God, help me because my thought life is not right. But I know my thoughts are not your thoughts. Help me, Lord, to totally depend upon you. Maybe there's someone here today. And if you look back to time in your life, has there ever been a moment where you realized you were lost? You realized you were on your way to hell. You realized Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary. And you called upon him to save you. Can you remember that time in your life? I remember the day the Lord saved me. It's not 5 times, not 10 times, not making peace with God a bunch of times, not making it through a car wreck or a surgery. It's the day the Holy Spirit of God began to tug at your heart and say, you're lost. You need salvation. That's what you're missing. You're missing Jesus. Maybe you're religious, but you don't have salvation. Friend, listen, if there's not a day in your life where you can look back and say, that's the day I got born again, I would encourage you to be saved today. God wants to save you. Don't go based on what grandma told you all those years ago. Go based on what you know in your heart. When is the day you got born again? If you haven't experienced that day, I pray that today would be that day.